You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our phone number is 564-1290, 564-1290. Or you can reach Mark Schneidman, your local Coldwell Banker Realtor, after the program at 898-4242, 898-4242, and at RadioRealEstate.com. Welcome back. If you've just tuned in, you're about 30 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining us, talking with Neil Kalin, Assistant General Counsel for the California Association of Realtors. So here's a quote I heard from a Coldwell Banker legal update meeting. Verbal agreement doesn't count. A verbal agreement doesn't count. You've always heard that. Get it in writing. Except if the court decides. This was from a case. A court forced a seller to sell when he tried to cancel. Okay, but he never gave extensions in writing. Okay, he never gave extensions in writing. The day you have to remove your contingency, Neil. What would we call that? The deadline to remove your contingency.
Yeah. Well, there's no simple one word phrase for that.
Yeah, it's kind of a little. Yeah, we can. Well, you'll talk about that when we talk about how we move from active to passive.
It's your contingency and removal date.
Thank you. The initial contingency removal date was passed, and the seller never gave extensions in writing, nor did he give the buyer notice to perform, which we'll talk about. And then he, after a period of time, said, well, guess what? You're past that contingency removal date, and I want out. And of course, you know, it helped that the price of the property had probably gone up $50,000 or $100,000 during the course of the escrow. And guess what? Verbal agreements don't count unless the court decides. He was forced to sell, and the agents were sued for breach of duty for damages.
Here's my guess. You're probably talking about it wasn't just the contingency removal date. It was probably the closing date that passed, and the seller probably tried to cancel after the closing date, and the court said, you know what? We're going to give the buyer more time.
Well, you know what? That could be correct, and your friend, what's that gal's name?
Kathy,
we can next time you talk to her, or I'll talk to her. I'd like the, but either way, it was a deadline. Whether it was close of escrow, or I got my recollection one that it was along the lines of a physical inspection, and they kept just dragging it out. But who knows? Either way, verbal agreements don't count unless the court decides. So this kind of case evolved because we've gone to active removal on contingency dates, where a buyer must proactively, physically remove his contingency, versus the old days we had the option to use passive removal, which just meant that today's date, an October date, October 10th, boom, came and went, nothing was done, it was deemed removed. So they went to pass active, remove the option of passive. How's that working out? Are agents getting used to it? Clients making it work?
Well, why don't I tell you a little bit about what happened and where we are now. I'll try to do that real quickly. As you said, it used to be the case under the CAR contract where if a time frame came and went and nothing happened, there was a presumption written into the contract that if the time frame related to a contingency, that contingency disappeared. It went away. The way the contract now reads and the way it has read for the last 3 years is simply this. You've got a contingency to do certain acts, maybe check out the property, maybe get a loan. Let's say that contingency is open for 17 days. I'll use the default period in the contract. At the end of 17 days, if no one does anything, the contingency is still there. A contingency will only go away if a buyer removes it in writing, or if the buyer cancels, in which case the whole contract will end, or if the seller cancels. Now, the trick to the seller is, seller, before you can cancel, you have to give the buyer a notice first that you're going to cancel. So the buyer basically has one last chance to try to save the deal and remove the contingency.
Yeah, I had submitted that you name the form put up or shut up instead of notice to perform. I think, you know, people need to get square in the eye. I think they would appreciate that more.
Well, you know what? We were just talking about contingencies, but the other important time period in the contract is, of course, the day that the contract is scheduled to close escrow. And our committee always felt that that was an important day. Not only do you usually put down a date certain in the contract, or sometimes you do so many days from opening or from acceptance of the contract, but we have a clause in our contract that says time is of the essence. And the time is of the essence, from a legal perspective, says we really mean it. And so a lot of sellers think, well, we've got a time in the contract. We have a time is of the essence clause in the contract. If the buyer doesn't close, I should just be able to cancel.
All right, now you're going to jump ahead to the new form about demand to close?
I am.
Okay, before we leave, the we're still in escrow here. We're not at the close of escrow.
Right.
And I just want to go back to the notice to perform.
Okay.
So people understand this. If you're buying or selling, you want to use this because and you have to, let's say, for what's today's date?
If you're selling, you want to use it. It's crucial for a seller to use the document called Notice to Buyer to Perform.
Now, the default date in the contract for the time period is 24 hours.
When you give this notice, yes.
If you don't change the default, the default period is 24 hours. You could change it to 48 hours or whatever.
That's correct.
So the seller is approaching, let's say today's date hypothetically is October 10th.
Right.
And a deadline of removing a physical inspection contingency is October 11th.
Right.
Now, the buyer has until the 11th to remove the contingency.
That's
but the
correct.
Seller, if you haven't changed the default 24-hour period, the seller today can give the buyer a notice to perform, which is just kind of reminding them, oh, by the way, you realize tomorrow is your day.
That's right. And if you don't remove your contingency tomorrow, I've got the right to cancel you.
Now, at that point, the buyer still must agree to sign cancellation instructions, but he's in a position right now where at that point where he wouldn't have much legal recourse unless there are other odd extenuating circumstances.
Well, see, in a real estate sale, there's really two different items that are going on at once. There's the contract rights, and there is an escrow. Okay? A seller, assuming the seller gave the appropriate notice, the notice to perform, waited the appropriate time period, okay? The buyer did nothing. The seller has a right to unilaterally to cancel the contract. What will not happen unilaterally is escrow will not cancel unilaterally. Escrow requires two signatures, buyer and seller. But the seller can unilaterally, on his own, cancel on a non-performing buyer.
And so that notice to perform goes out, the buyer does not remove the contingency, the contract is null and void?
No,
if the seller proceeds with that next step?
If the seller proceeds with the next step.
And then the buyer would be in a position to try to enforce a null and void contract to try to proceed with escrow. He'd be in... Now, the example I gave earlier
about... The buyer would have a difficult time doing that.
Yes, verbal agreements don't count except if the court decides. In that case, the seller never gave the notice to perform. So by default, the contingency date removal day kept, there was no time certain, it just kept floating.
Just kept floating.
Now, are...
That's by design.
Right. And that's fine, as long as everyone's on the same page, but I don't know if are people using this? I think in this town, in Santa Barbara, California, I don't know what's happening in the Los Angeles area, the hood that you hang out in.
Right.
But up here, we're kind of polite, and basically, you probably would wait till the day that he's going to remove the contingency, assuming everyone's acting in good faith, and then unless something erupts where the guy would, just disappear, then maybe you'd give him his 24-hour notice. Unless you know in advance that trouble is brewing and that you guys have not negotiated a mutually agreeable resolution regarding requests for repairs if things are, trying to be renegotiated.
Right. If you know in advance, you try to negotiate an extension of time.
Right.
Right. To give yourself more time to negotiate other items or just more time to get that one item taken care of, to get your inspections done or be more sure of what's going on with your lender if you're the buyer.
Now, in the old contract, if you had a date, say, of 17 days, that was not today the date that you actually had to be remove the contingency and complete all negotiations. That was the day that you had to bond. Is that correct, the old contract?
Oh, the old one was much more complicated. There was several dates. There was one date.
You know what, Neil? Speaking of time extensions, we can't extend the time we're here together. Okay. So I don't want to get. I could love to talk to you about that, but we're running out of time. I want you to get to the new form demand to close escrow and how that dovetails into what we were talking about.
Okay, so we already said your contract says you're going to close. Let's say you're supposed to close escrow on the 11th, October 11th. It says it is in the contract. There's a time is of the essence clause in the contract. Lo and behold, the 11th comes and goes, and the buyer does not put up the money. So the escrow did not close. The contract has not been performed. Sellers think to themselves, well, I could just immediately cancel on this buyer. The issue is, isn't it always a good idea, though, to give the buyer kind of a warning first? And the answer is yes, it's always a good idea to do that. And one of the reasons it's a good idea to do that is judges do not like to see what are called forfeitures. Judges do not like to see contracts go unenforced, uncompleted, I should say. And so a judge could say, you know what, we're going to find that the buyer and seller were negotiating, or they were negotiating through their agents, and by their conduct, they waived the right to timely performance. And so that waiver would be either the explicit or the implicit verbal agreement to extend the close of escrow. But if instead a seller gives a buyer a demand to close escrow, the buyer is not going to be able to claim waiver because the seller has put it in writing. Hey, listen, I told you I meant it. We have the time and of the essence clause that says we really mean it. And I've given you a separate written document that says, I really, really mean it. So you're not going to be able to argue that I've waived the right to insist on a timely close. I really, really mean it.
Now, the way the contract stands now, could you simply give the existing form notice to perform on a close of escrow date?
Some people have done that. It's a bad idea because there is an ambiguity that would arise. The way the contract is written, if a seller cancels after giving a buyer a notice to perform, the existing form, the contract obligates the seller to return the buyer's deposit. That works out fine for contingencies, but if a buyer has already removed all of their contingencies, meaning the buyer is now obligated to perform, why should the seller be obligated to return a buyer's deposit when the buyer changes his or her mind and does not purchase the property?
So this new form coming up, we will see it when?
At the end of the 2 weeks, it will be available and on the street, so to speak.
The end, right now, a couple of weeks from now?
That's correct.
So
it will be released the 24th of October, 2 weeks from today.
October 24th, 2005. So this is going to be basically a rewritten notice to perform to cover these other issues, deposits.
To only cover the close of escrow.
Now,
so instead of giving a notice to perform, you give a demand to close escrow.
Now, when we first talked, you mentioned there were four reasons that came out with this. Now, you said one of them was the verbal negotiation equals a waiver of rights, so you want to circumvent that defense of a buyer by giving them something in writing. Did you cover all four? We just didn't enumerate them?
More or less. The issue was, what were agents and sellers doing now? One is they don't do anything and they get you get this implicit waiver. The other is they immediately cancel, and we've talked about why that's dangerous. The other is they give the notice to perform instead of a demand to close, and we talked about why that's dangerous. Okay. And the other thing they do is they just cancel immediately without giving any advance notice, and we talked about why that's problematic.
Wait,
as
I thought,
well.
Now I thought you said one was the implicit,
right.
Two was the immediate cancel.
Right.
Three was a notice to perform, which doesn't work.
Right.
What's the fourth?
Well, the fourth is basically they do nothing.
Do nothing.
Do nothing. So they're not negotiating. They're doing nothing.
Just hanging, waiting for them to close, waiting to see what happens.
Right. And the court could read that as an implicit waiver as well.
Well, always a pleasure to have you on here, Neil.
Well, and it's always a pleasure for me to be on.
I appreciate you taking the time, and get back to whatever you do down there, writing contracts or taking long lunches or...
How about advising real estate agents with legal advice when they call in over the phone.
Yeah, people don't realize that, but you know, we can't give out legal advice to you as a real estate agent. I can't be advising you as to your legal rights. However, as members of the National and California Association of Realtors, we have a wealth of resources available to us, namely one, Neil Kalin. Thanks so much for being here, Neil.
You're quite welcome. A pleasure as usual.
Say hi to Kathy. Find out if that court decision was the close of escrow or a contingency period.
Okay. I'll try to find that out for you.
I love giving orders. I love delegating, Neil.
Well, and she's going to be up your area in a week and a half or 2 weeks, so maybe you'll find out yourself.
Oh, maybe I'll just ask her. I'll see her at the meeting. I'll see her at the Biltmore.
Right.
Thanks, Neil.
All right, you're welcome. Bye now.
Okay, have a great day. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Stay tuned. We'll come back for our weekly multiple listing update.